efforts are in vain. I am the Silver Spooner, culinary guide for, herald of, and personal valet to, master, his most cosmic colossalness, barbecuer, eater of worlds. The master has chosen planet Earth as his main course. So, let the feast begin!
Oh yeah? We got your feast right here.
Welcome to Check Your Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Mouse.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Greetings, heads. It's your foul-mouthed motherfucking friend and host, B-Dubs. And this is Check Your Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Still listening after that abrasive opening? Well, don't worry. I don't hate you. I'm just intentionally exercising my free speech while I still have it. Because I'm feeling a little ornery today, and cussing a bit helps me get the bad vibes out of my soul. In case you haven't guessed by the title of this episode, we're covering banned Cartoon Network episodes. You know, ones that were either pulled off the airwaves after a very limited run or prevented from airing altogether. Some of the grievances, standards, and practices of the cable TV era may be tamed by today's cultural norms, but it all depends on what you believe and how you choose to react to such imagery, language, and the like that humans comically group together under the profanity category. As such, I myself see it useful only when used sparingly to emphasize a point and not to be used egregiously or callously. Case in point, if a person or form of media content is banned, chances are certain groups of people, mostly those who don't actually watch the content, take issue with it existing. And that's what we're going to explore today with an analysis of a few locked away episodes that I borrowed from the forbidden section of the Cartoon Network vault. But before we move on, I do want to note that due to the nature of some of these cartoons, it may make the discussion around them a bit uncomfortable for some people, particularly younger viewers. This is a formal trigger warning for anyone who may find our discussion offensive in any way, shape, or form. If any of these episodes or the discussion of them make you feel enraged, I suggest turning off this podcast, taking a few deep breaths, and asking yourself, why am I upset? That usually helps me anyways. This topic is purely for analysis and understanding as to why these tunes got censored in the first place. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, with that out of the way, ready for some off-color fun? Let's dive in.
Oh, Mom and Dad, guess what I found in Chicken's underwear drawer?
Okay, I'll play with you.
So starting off with our list of banned episodes, we have Count Chicken, No Smoking. The episode info is episode 6C, or the 18th out of the initial 48 What a Cartoon shorts, because it first premiered on the What a Cartoon show, not on the actual series. And the premise basically boils down to, after Cal threatening to tell Chicken for storing cigarettes in his underwear drawer, the devil takes notice and tempts the young foolish fowl with a box of cigarettes. Once dragged deep into the fiery depths of hell, it's up to Super Cal to save the day.
Hello! It's me, the devil.
I stand for all that is bad.
Also, I'm naked.
The initial air date for this banned episode was November 12th, 1995. And why was it banned? According to my research, it was a depiction of the devil in a children's cartoon, using excess imagery of youth smoking, and maybe even the creepy half-parents too. I mean, if you see the ending, you know what I mean.
Oh, aren't our kids something, Dad?
Mama, there's nobody quite like them.
Some noteworthy trivia that I found about this episode involves David Feiss animating most of the episode himself, which is quite a feat for a pilot. Also, I found that according to Redditor Tone Alone, Sam Keefe, who helped write this episode, is actually cousins with David Feiss. Keefe is known for the MTV Odyssey series The Max, which aired the same year as this pilot, and the quote crap on sequence, the one that was inspired by Dr. Seuss from that show, was animated by Feast while Keefe oversaw production. And I guess it looks like the Blood-related artists like helping out each other in their network projects, as we see Keefe do a few other things like writing and storyboarding for Cow and Chicken series. This episode features a World Premiere Toons promo poster from 1995, where Super Cow is actually seen in an alternate coloring of her outfit. This time, she's wearing a blue cape and rust-orange unitard instead of the iconic green cape and purple unitard. This is also the only time we see Red Guy's dog Cerberus as a secondary antagonist.
Right!
Cerberus? Cerberus is my assistant.
He's got three heads.
Right, Cerberus?
Sadly, the guard dog never appears in the series after this instance, which is a shame because I find him quite funny. So with all this being said about Cow and Chicken No Smoking, what's my take on it? What's my analysis? I can understand that cautious network execs really didn't want to encourage kids to smoke, as the habit was pretty rampant in the 90s and already had plenty of PSAs telling people not to do drugs. He also had DARE, which was drug abuse resistance education, that was appearing in schools as a further deterrent. The scene where a chicken inhales a huge cigarette down to its ashy stump is still a bit disturbing, as it's a... Yeah, it's a lot of smoking in a small moment. And I can even understand the concern for devil worship based on the imagery used in the short, but if anyone who wanted to censor the show actually watched the whole episode, or at least consulted David Feast to find out about its anti-smoking in the plot and intentions, then they would have realized that kids don't actually imitate everything that they see on TV, and that this pilot was clearly intended as a cautionary tale on the dangers of underage smoking.
You like a good smoke, huh? Take a drag.
Oh, you got smoldering ashes in your mouth.
I can help you clean that out.
I mean, even with the Itchy and Scratchy cartoon that Maggie watched on The Simpsons is a very similar case, where they prove that, yeah, maybe some of the actions could be impressionable, but not as much as you may think. Moving on to our second band episode, we have another Cow and Chicken episode, but it's from the series, of course. This one is called Buffalo Gals, and it's from Season 2, Episode 7A.
Excuse me, sir, but who are you guys?
We're the Buffalo Gals!
Oh, the Buffalo Gals! A motorcycle-riding gang that randomly bursts into people's homes and chews on their carpet!
Buffalo Gals?
The premise involves when a group of butch biker girls invade Cow and Chicken's home. Cow takes a liking to their group, while Chicken, despite their animosity towards him, convinces her to stay out of the group. The initial air date for this band episode was February 20th, 1998. I've also seen the date June 27th, 1998, because different sources are inconsistent, so take of it what you will. Why was it banned? Well, I saw that stereotypical depiction of lesbians eating chunks of Cow and Chicken's living room rug as a derogatory gesture to carpet munching, a term used to describe, well, you can Google it if you're unsure. There's also some more derogatory clues littered through the episode, from pitching and catching in a game of softball to Mom's mention of the group not liking chicken, and even the campfire song Buffalo Gals Won't You Come Out Tonight line. If you can read between the lines.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon? Oh yes, pretty boys, we're coming out tonight. Coming out tonight, coming out tonight. Oh yes, pretty boys, we're coming out tonight and dance by the light of the moon.
Reportedly, this episode only aired once, but I definitely recall seeing it several times on Cartoon Network as a kid before it was permanently replaced with Orthodontic Police. Some noteworthy trivia about this episode is that Judy Tenuta, who seemed to be everywhere on the television in 90s alternative comedy scene and in many cartoons, voices the Buffalo Gals leader, Munch Kelly. Like me, it never dawned on the writer of this episode, Bill Burnett's mind, all the references and their degree of intensity. But David Feist has since come out in recent interviews saying that the premise was done in poor taste in response to this episode's criticism. And my take on this episode being banned, I'd say that due to the episode being rife with abrasive references to lesbians, this episode has not aged well at all, nor was it well received upon its initial airing. So I completely agree with the need to censor this one, despite all the references flying clear over my head as a 10-year-old back in the 90s. When you just break it down, it's just too much when you know what to look for. And I'm sure queer women wouldn't appreciate watching this either, even if Feast would argue in the name of satire. Maybe South Park could get away with such behavior, but anything on Cartoon Network, I don't think it's fair game. All right, moving on to number 3 of our banned Cartoon Network episodes. We have Dial M for Monkey, Barbacore. And the episode info is the episodes from season 1, episode 4B of Dexter's Lab. And the premise basically involves, during Monkey's birthday barbecue, a mysterious metallic man crashes to the party to pilfer vital ingredients for his master's galactic feast. Can Monkey stop the colossal threat after he roasted all of his party guests and the planets? That's what you'll have to find out by watching it. The initial air date is May 19th, 1996, and was originally paired with Double Trouble and Dee Dee's Room before it got replaced with Dexter's Lab, A Story. You know, the one that I mentioned in the previous Dexter's Lab episode that I absolutely despise. So why was this one banned? Well, fans speculate that it was due to the Silver Spooner being portrayed as a stereotypical gay man of the 90s, or also Krunk getting wasted on, quote, special juice. But I found that the real reason was for copyright infringement of the Silver Surfer Marvel character, as Stan Lee was super protective of his creation and cited the episode as misuse of the character's personality.
Stop! You're far too late! Even now, my master is preparing his planetary shish kebab. Nah, don't go there. You puny earthlings have bothered the master long enough. Now, let him feed.
It has been excluded from the Season 1 DVD Cartoon Network Hall of Fame set in all regions except Region 4, and even streaming services such as Netflix and Max. Unfortunately, because I don't have the recently released Dexter's Lab Complete Series DVD in my possession, I cannot confirm if that episode is on it or not. Some noteworthy trivia about Barbacore is that it marks the first time the Justice Friends at large joined forces to fight a gigantic foe in Dexter's Lab, with the only other notable instance happening in the season 2 finale, Last But Not Beast. Other than that, my take is, I don't mind this episode at all. I can understand why Marvel wants to protect their characters and all, but The Justice Friends is a parody in and of itself, and I don't really see the problem other than Stan Lee not liking its portrayal. It is his favorite Marvel character after all, the Silver Surfer. The Silver Spooner and Barbacore are meant to be derived off the Silver Surfer and Galactus respectively, and all things considered, the episode doesn't put either villain in a negative light, just shown through a different Cartoon Network lens, thanks to Genndy Tartakovsky loving the Silver Surfer growing up. I rewatched it for this episode too, just to make sure that everything was in order, and you know, I watched it once initially back in the 90s when I managed to catch it on Dexter's Lab. And honestly, it gave me a barrel of laughs. I had a lot of fun watching this. Why Valhalla, Samurai, and White Tiger are absent from the party is anyone's guess. But I recommend you find this on YouTube, archive.org, Daily Motion, or Apple TV if you really want to see this for yourself. I particularly love the ending when Monkey drives Krunk home, too, because he's a little too drunk.
Could you do us one last favor?
No, over there. No, that's not Krunk's house. Maybe this not Drag Street. Okay. Sorry. Maybe Frank Street next block. Maybe it's the block after next.
Moving on to number 4 of our banned episodes list, we have Dexter's Lab with Rude Removal. And the episode info is, well, there's no exact production number, but it's clear to see that the art style matches the season 2 aesthetic, And was made around that time the season aired. So we'll just pretend it's a season two episode for clarity's sake. The premise basically involves Dexter and Dee Dee getting caught up in a root removal type machine in Dexter's lab that separates them into both polite and offensive versions of themselves as they constantly bicker and disagree while moving about the house.
Where the f*** are we? Beats the f*** out of me! Why, you're in Dexter's laboratory, silly. I'm Dexter, and this golden-haired angel behind me is my charming sister, Dee Dee.
Charmed!
Ah, f*** off!
Oh, dear!
The initial air date was February 21st, 1998, according to the Cartoon Network wiki. And I found out that it was banned because mention of profanity and the title card having Dee Dee showing the middle finger and Dexter mooning us. Other than that, I mean, there's really no other reason why. Some noteworthy trivia about this episode is that both Rude Dexter and Dee Dee have New York accents. And I guess that's based on the common stereotype of New Yorkers being rude to people whenever they're walking around the city. I've also noticed that both of the rude counterparts of Dexter and Dee Dee only swear twice in the episode, and one of the words isn't even a swear word anymore. So I find that quite ironic for it being banned. This episode was later aired online by Adult Swim on January 22nd, 2013, after touring the animation festival circuit, but was taken down just 3 days later on January 25th, 2013. Luckily, fans have preserved the copy, and it still exists among small cartoon community groups all over the internet. So it's not going to be too difficult to find if you know where to look. My take? Well, it seems more in good fun than anything, and playful. This episode was made to be a joke, and just meant to be shown to people within the industry as kind of a tongue-in-cheek entertainment, especially with people who worked on the show up until that point. And while the language may be offensive to some, it's pretty tame compared to what kids are actually exposed to via other kids swearing, parents accidentally cussing, and random adults letting it slip around them. So to me, it's not that bad by what can happen in reality. I'd say it's even more entertaining than how mom reacts to the rude behavior, since parents would accurately discipline their children with harsh action back in the 90s, like washing your mouth out with soap or, spankings or the like. Now, it's hard to tell what parents do when they catch their kids swearing, as every parent is different in how they discipline their children. But I have a little story to share on this later in the memory section of the episode, so tune in for that.
I hope you like it. Well, what do you think, Dexter?
I think it tastes like...
Oh! All right, our fifth banned Cartoon Network episode is Powerpuff Girls See Me, Feel Me, Know Me. And the episode info is a little bit conflicting on this one, so bear with me. I did find online on Wikipedia and the Cartoon Network wiki that it was season 5, episode 18, which is episode 102 overall of the series. It was also the last episode, but in my personal collection that I've archived from the DVDs, I had it as season 6, episode 11, so you can probably confirm or deny which one is real or not. It was hard for me to tell. The premise with this one involves... With the overwhelming threat of Townsville villains causing chaos and destruction, a mythical gnome strikes a peace deal with the Powerpuff Girls in exchange for their powers. But once they surrender them, the gnome's true dark intentions become known. Known. I said gnome. The initial air date is October 26, 2003 in the UK, and later aired on March 18, 2004 in Canada. There was no official USA release, but it did air January 20, 2009 when the DVD series release occurred. So I found that a bit odd. So I this one never made it to air in the US. And I think that's due to the fact that it was banned for themes of communism or perhaps cultism, which is conveyed by the villain turning everybody into brainless rogue followers after he works his magic on the city of Townsville.
Who sold our lives? To save, but it was all lies.
You could also argue that the strobing effects that you see during the yin yang scene also could cause seizures in photosensitive young viewers. So I'm sure that was a precaution that they had to take as well. It's pretty funny that would show up again, you know, seizures in cartoons and having to be censored for that, because I remember seeing that in the banned Pokemon episode, Electric Solar Porygon, because I used to watch that anime as a kid growing up around late 90s, early 2000s. And I always wonder why there's like plot holes between the ones that I caught every week on TV. And now I know why, is because the Porygon episode never aired online. I mean, never aired on cable TV in the US. Which is unfortunate because it had a lot of cool action in it. But again, for seizures, it's understandable. Jack Black was originally chosen to voice the gnome when the episode was first conceived in 2001. But because of his career taking off with films like School of Rock reaching a mass popularity, he was simply too expensive for the show's budget to be selected for the role. And I thought it was interesting that Ringo Starr was also considered as a runner-up for the role too, but he ultimately declined. Maybe it's too much on the nose with Yellow Submarine or Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It's one of the two. There's definitely like this musical feeling or magical mystery tour. Boy, I'm a really bad Beatles fan. But, you know, if you watch the whole Powerpuff Girls episode, you definitely feel the Beatles theme going on as everyone's singing and the action's playing out. That's the point I'm trying to make. To make the world go round. But I would say that both of these voice actors are very fitting choices for the character, the gnome character, as it's evident by his singing and overall musical style in the episode. Like, the person they ended up going with sounds really close to Jack Black. And I bet if they used him with his like stronger inflections of notes and even Tenacious D playing the guitar, it would have been an amazing fit because they were definitely popular at the time in the early 2000s. Speaking of music, I did find with trivia that the episode is also derived from the song See Me, Feel Me by the classic rock band The Who. At least the title. I don't know about musical influence because I've never heard it myself. As for my take on the episode after watching it, I mean, I didn't watch it growing up, but I can see why they were cautious with this one after recently viewing it, especially due to the strobing effects that were shown and the conformist political undertones with turning everyone into a brainless gnome. I think it's better to discourage such ideologies to prevent U.S. citizens from turning against the country. So, yeah, it could be pretty heavy or viewed as propaganda for younger viewers, which, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want to be like Russia. Also, this episode's strobing effects, I mean, I mentioned before, it's similar to Porygon or other episodes of maybe Samurai Jack that had it, that they just want to skirt on the safe side so that kids wouldn't accidentally have seizures while watching their show. Despite the reasons that this is banned, though, I didn't mind it too much. I don't think it's worthy of being a Powerpuff Girls finale for the original series. It seems like more of a side thing or even a movie thing, but For an episode on its own, it's not too bad. Like, if you can get used to the singing throughout the entire 22-minute episode and just go along with the visuals and the story, it grows on you. Kind of like how the roses grew on the city of Townville in it.
So once again, the day is saved thanks to the Powerpuff Girls!
All right, we have quite a few episodes here, but we're getting near the end of our banned Cartoon Network episodes list. This one is What a Cartoon, The Kitchen Casanova, which we talked about in episode 5 of this podcast already. Its episode info is 12A, which is the 36th cartoon out of the initial 48 What a Cartoon shorts. And the premise, as you may know, is a goofy suburbanite essentially frantically slaps together a meal for his lovely dinner date. But everything you can imagine go wrong does go wrong in making a positive first impression. But the ending might surprise you, despite all the chaos. The initial air date of this one, is November 6th, 1996, and it was banned simply because Casanova cuts his finger clean off while being distracted cutting a carrot in the kitchen. And there was even blood spurting from the wound when he shrieked at it and then quickly covered it up in a Band-Aid with the carrot as his replacement finger. I didn't really find much trivia about this episode because, you know, it's just a one-off pilot. And other than Carlos L's Rocky voice in Casanova, there really isn't much more to point out. But I do love the episode. I loved it back then and I love it now. And I don't think having blood in a kid's cartoon is enough to consider it like worthy of being banned. I could see how it could be graphic. I could see how they could put a censor bar on it if they really want to. But I don't think, at least compared to others on this list, like the Cow and Chicken Buffalo Girls Gals episode being banned, that this one is really worthy of being removed from the lineup on What a Cartoon Show. You may recall the story that I mentioned in episode 5 of this podcast, but it did remind me of when I sliced my own finger when I worked at a sandwich shop. So it has a special place in my heart, and I don't see it as gross or grotesque or gratuitous and anyway, so if you're able to find this short on YouTube or through friends, definitely watch it.
Oh, you and your silly games. Come, join me now.
Lastly, for our banned episodes from Cartoon Network, we have Pingu with Little Accidents. And even if this kids cartoon may not sound familiar to you, it was actually shown via Small World, which was basically a kids cartoon anthology that's very similar to Big Bag, but with no wraparound segments. The episode info for this one was season 1, episode 19, and the premise is pretty simple. It's kind of in the title. Pingu essentially learns how to use the toilet properly, but messes up a few times during the process. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any initial air date because Small World is pretty much jumbled and pieced together from episode to episode, so out of luck there. And why it was banned, it's obvious once you find footage of it. We see Pingu's urine trail when he attempts to pee on the toilet and misses and kind of makes a mess all over the place. It's a lot to watch. I don't care if you're a kid or adult. And it could be considered too graphic from a parent's perspective, as you can tell.
No, in the condom of the but then she's 75, you know.
Noteworthy trivia about this episode, I'd say that it's the only season one episode of the show that wasn't aired in the U.S. The pub scene that I remember seeing in the episode also appeared in Pingu and the Barrel Organ, which is another one. And I find that surprising because, you know, alcohol references, but whatever. Even though Pingu's father gave up smoking in a previous episode, also bizarre that they would show this, but I guess because it's derived from Japan, there's different standards and practices on TV. The episode, The New Arrival, that Pingu's father gave up smoking in, despite that airing before this one, his pipe can still be seen on a table near Pingu's toilet seat still. So maybe he's actually doing it in secret and not actually giving it up as a habit.
What the son of a bullet would have found with the Siberian Gunnable Palm God, baby baby?
So, I mean, as you can imagine, as I mentioned before, my take on this one is, yeah, it's a bit gross to watch, especially, you know, in stop motion animation. Kind of looks like yellowed hot glue everywhere. I don't think it's very appealing to see a toilet being peed all over like it is in a public restroom at a park or an airport. But I do understand where Pingu is coming from with the story, just wanting to learn how to be toilet trained and not really having a father that's helping him, you know, go to the bathroom when he needs to because he's occupying the bathroom before he can relieve himself. And it also doesn't help that Pingu can't reach the toilet seat due to his shorter height, hence the stilts. So even if it's a bit off-putting to watch, everything that you see here unfold in the story is justified. Pingu's learning the pie train after all. He's a young penguin. And though I think it could have been handled a little more carefully to convey the message, perhaps more subtly, like how Rugrats had a potty training episode that centered on Chucky, and we got a gist of what happened without even seeing his lower half exposed. You know, I think it could have been done better, handled more appropriately. And I think the beer drinking at the pub scene is also a bit questionable, but it is realistic of, you know, pub culture or drinking culture, if you will. So I think it just comes down to Japan banning things different than the US for this one. I don't think I'd watch this again. I think it's interesting for the novelty, but I don't know. Body fluids don't sit well with me. And beer and kids cartoons don't either. Woo! That was a trip. So what are my memories on banned cartoons of Cartoon Network growing up? Well, I can recall seeing the Barbacore and Cow and Chicken No Smoking one upon first airing in the mid to late 90s. And I enjoy both of them a lot. It never dawned on me that they were offensive in any way when I was watching them, even though my parents and grandmother picked up on it. But, you know, back then, for those who don't remember, TV was much more ephemeral. If you missed an episode and you didn't happen to record it on VCR, well, tough luck. That may have been your only chance to see it because you couldn't stream it or pause it on demand. And unless you're able to find it in reruns of it somewhere or at a later time, if you were lucky, there wasn't a chance you could revisit it. Once it was gone, it was gone. Thankfully, though, animation preservationists over on YouTube and archive.org care a lot about vintage media, regardless of its content. And they do everything they can to upload and share what they may have missed in a previous decade or other fans who are still searching for such banned episodes. I did not see the Powerpuff Girls or Pingu episodes back in the 90s, as stated before, but watching them now definitely gives me a more comprehensive understanding of their banned nature, even if the Pingu one doesn't sit well with me. As for that rude removal Dexter's Lab related story, well, I can relate to their punishment. See, when I was young, I don't remember how old, probably first grade, my mother took me to a toy store to let me pick out a toy for doing chores all week, which I looked forward to that. I really wanted this board game called The Grape Escape that I saw there previously. It basically dealt with Play-Doh and making little grape characters and smushing them with a weird contraption. But they didn't have it, and I was disappointed. But rather than picking something else, you know, my young brain just said, "Aw shucks," and like stamped my feet and snapped my fingers and scrunched my right eye. And not thinking, I shouted out of my frustration, "Son of a bitch." My mother was absolutely appalled to hear such language from my mouth when she whipped me back in the car and sped home immediately. So over dinner, I had to explain why I said that word and where I heard it from. And I told them that I probably heard it from one of my dad's coworkers, which is expected because at the time he worked on construction sites and day laborers are stereotypical in their crass behavior. I mean, it's out there in the open. Anyone can see that. My mom gave me and my father a piercing glance and sent me to my room without dessert as a result for that night. And I don't recall ever saying the B word ever again, at least not until I was an adult, but definitely not again as a kid. And even then, I use it sparingly because I see it more as like offensive to women more than anything. But the clincher is, before I left the dinner table that night that I had my outburst, I asked my mom, you know, a little misty-eyed, "Does this mean you're going to wash my mouth out with soap?" Concerned, my mom actually reassured me that she'd never do such a thing, since both she and my grandmother consider that abuse, even if it was a more standard type of punishment, I guess of the corporal variety from the 1950s. My grandmother even encouraged me to test out a small sample from the kitchen sink when I asked that, and obviously it was awful tasting, and I made sure that I never ate soap again, and they made sure that I never ate soap again. So I got off clean with that punishment, thank goodness. And also, thank goodness, Dexter's mom wasn't my mom in that situation. So if everything we covered today in this special topic, why do banned episodes matter, both on Cartoon Network and the rest of TV and maybe even streaming too? While banned episodes in general may be censored in the name of protecting viewers' minds, not all content withheld should be. Life is hard and messy at times, and if we are exposed to these things with proper parental guidance, or at least knowing what we're getting into before we get into it, we can anticipate handling such things when they happen. And we also learn why cultural norms are unacceptable or may cause pain for those the content is targeting when we're removed from these episodes. Thankfully, none of the listed episodes that we mentioned from Cartoon Network are quite as offensive as, say, censored episodes from other channels like Nickelodeon or Fox or even Comedy Central. But their existence does make one ponder why this is a bad thing versus simply a thing that just needs to be expressed and understood with a little bit of patience and maturity. I know not everyone will agree with me on this, what's acceptable and not, and that's okay. Even with regulations in place, there will still be banned episodes in media now and in the future. It's just one of those mechanisms of how media works. But at least there are still avenues to voice our opinions and see what we want to see despite the limitations. And I feel that being able to express yourself through art, even in a seemingly offensive way, is still important. As long as you don't aim to hurt someone in the process. And I think, you know, episodes like even on Nickelodeon with Ren and Stimpy's Dog Show that was banned, or like the Michael Jackson episode of season 3 of The Simpsons when he was portrayed in that during his, you know, his 1993 allegations. I can see why they were unfit to be aired at the time, but I don't think it should be whitewashed from history. People should still see the context of why these things are banned so that we can better understand them, because when you just block out things you don't like, even if it's blocking someone on a telephone, I mean, how are you supposed to connect with them? Unless it's like spam, obviously, then block them. But in terms of friends you don't like, give them a chance. Everyone deserves to be connected and at least feel understood through their communication, whether it's cartoons or conversations. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, I think I'm going to put these naughty episodes back in the vault, close it up, and leave it for someone else to deal with for another day. But here's our closing question before we head out. Which banned Cartoon Network episode left the most vivid impression on you? Is it one that I listed, or did you find something else that piqued your interest that is worth mentioning? Email me at checkerchildhood@gmail.com or leave me a comment in Spotify or YouTube. I always love hearing from you guys, even if it's hard to be noticed as a little podcast, but I appreciate anything you do to interact with me, whether it's a comment or a review or even a rating on my podcast. I know you can listen to it over on Apple, Spotify, or practically any platform these days, but whenever you chime in, I'd love to hear your opinion on any of these topics that we cover. So thank you for listening, and hope to hear from you soon with what you have to say on either banned Cartoon Network episodes or any other ones on Check for Childhood. If you enjoy this podcast, tell a friend too. I'm sure they would love hearing about these topics and feeling a little bit nostalgic while learning something new along the way too. All right, Toonheads, check in next time when we're going to take a much needed vacation on an island where nobody goes. I've heard three friends like to have fun with the animal inhabitants here, while the adults love to share their island traditions with newcomers. Any guesses which show we'll be covering? You'll just have to listen to episode 18 to find out what our retrospective will be about. Thank you, fellow Toonheads, for being here today. It was truly a joy to share these Check Your Childhood memories with you, even if they're a little scandalous. And I genuinely appreciate your willingness to listen to this solo podcast, and I hope, like best friends, we'll do it again soon. In the meantime, I think it's time to rewatch some more banned episodes of other channels to see why they got banned, too. Maybe some Ren and Stimpy, maybe some South Park. I don't know. I'm kind of riding this high of watching banned episodes. It's kind of fun. Kind of fun to talk about. Anyways, have a tunerific day, my friends. Later.
Now to clean those filthy mouths.
Oh.